going in Zambia. We, under the Lemapela Foundation, or it's called Lemapela Development in Zambia, we look after two schools, a total of about 800 pupils. One of the schools we are totally responsible for financially, and that's where our child sponsorship scheme comes in, and I think Matthew's going to talk about that later. So Lemapela Cedric School, we are totally responsible for paying the teachers, for buying textbooks, for getting computers for our pupils. And it's registered as a private school in Zambia. And in fact, in some ways, the government's actually tougher on us than they are on their own local schools. Now in Zambia, so we have in our school pupils from 4 years old. We have a preschool class up to grade 9, where they sit a government exam before they go on to the last 3 years of high school. And so the older kids can be up to 18 or 19 years old. And one of the photos we were going to show you was one of our classes. It's actually the grade 1 class, but there's a boy of about 12 in the grade 1 class because he had had no schooling before. So you have kids who are 5 and 6, and you have kids who are 12. And then up in our grade 8 and 9, we have some pupils who are 14, and we have some who are 18 or 19. The other school that we look after, we are not responsible for financing. It's financed by an NGO, a charity in the UK, but in fact they've really struggled with funding for that school. So that's really been a cause for concern to us, because we can't financially take over that responsibility. And there's just under 400 pupils at that school too, in a very deprived area. The other area that Matthew is particularly involved with is that where we live, we go to a community church, and we have a group of young people there. Matthew leads a choir, and this choir's developed over about 4 or 5 years now, and we have approximately 20 or so young people at a time there. We don't allow them to come into the choir until they're 12, because we have lots of younger ones wanting to. And we've now had some of our kids go on, and a few of them at tertiary. But one of our concerns is that young people in Zambia may finish high school, but very often it's difficult for the families to afford any kind of tertiary training. The choir's gone from strength to strength. They lead the worship on Sunday at church, but they also have performed several times in some of the shopping malls, particularly at Easter and at Christmas. We've been twice down to Chengelo School, which is one of the best private schools in Zambia. It's a Christian school, and they've performed there. And these kids that we take there are from very poor homes, and they're going to perform at the school where, you know, the kids are coming from very good homes. And particularly on the Sunday night, they have a youth service, and because they're teenage kids in the audience, they give our kids a real buzz. Our kids just are so enthusiastic because of the response that they get. And this Christmas, Matthew's been asked to record with the choir some of an Easter program that he has written, and it's to be screened on television. So they have actually performed live on TV before. So one of the main things Matthew has to do when he goes back shortly is to finish the backings that he's been doing for that and get the kids record. He wants to record them first and then record the he's recording the vocals now. Yes, so we just pray that will continue. And for those kids, it's just something that they would never normally have got the opportunity to be involved with. Some of you may think that missionaries are special people, and I want to assure you that missionaries are not special people. Okay, we are Christians who have been called to serve elsewhere, but you're all supposed to be missionaries here in New Zealand, and you know the problems that you face day to day, and sometimes we face those problems. And just to share you a little bit, at the beginning of this year, I came home to New Zealand for several months. It wasn't planned, but I got to the point where I wasn't coping. It was just day to day little things that built up over some time. We do struggle to get time out. And I just got to the end of last year and I just wasn't coping. So I had to come back to New Zealand. So please pray for us because we are ordinary people. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alison, and thank you for your warm welcome here. That was a phone. It is good to have the opportunity to thank you because there are no other churches in Palmerston North that show the interest and the support to us that you do. So, Church on Vogel, thank you very much. We were especially conscious of your prayers and your support during the year. We've had a tough year. We were attacked in the vehicle. Some of you will know this. And I sustained a very serious head injury from a stone thrown by a rioter. And I'm here and I'm alive. I've recovered, but my hearing hasn't recovered very well. So please pray for a miracle there. I am a musician. And so not to be able to hear the music the way it should be is quite distressing. But I can hear. Praise God. Did you wake up this morning and say, thank God I'm alive? Anybody? No, you didn't. And you know we take life for granted, don't we? Wake up in the morning and get on with what we have to do. We say, oh, it's Monday again. But God has given us life. That is the most precious gift we have. And it's sometimes difficult to know why he allows these catastrophes and these emergencies to happen in our lives. And I think that very often it's only later, much later, that we see some purpose, some reason for those things that we do suffer. Anyway, thank you all very much for your support for us personally. And thank you for the support you give through the church to the 20 children that this church sponsors in Zambia. I'll mention the sponsorship program because we want to build it up, and if you're interested in that, you can just get an information sheet from Alison or from me at the end of the service. We have these 800 children, and somehow God provides for them all, but we always need more money to pay the bills, to pay the salaries, and to pay the electricity bills and maintenance. And you know, it's actually much easier to raise money from good, generous people here in New Zealand for specific projects, for example, a building. It's glamorous, isn't it? You know, but fixing the toilets is not glamorous. But it costs money. So some people, they send gifts and they say, this is for you to spend the way it needs to be spent. So it's good that they do that. But the sponsorship program is an easy one. I want to ask you, and I think I've asked this question before in this church, anybody here go out for coffee to the cafes? Well, you shouldn't. Any cafe goes. I can't believe that. Palmerston North, you have cafes in Palmerston North. You do. What do you pay for the coffee? You go for a cup of coffee, what does it cost? About $4.50. Do you have coffee without a muffin or something to eat? You're just looking at me. Please, do you have something to eat when you have your coffee? And what does it cost? Okay, so what have you got to now? He says $4.50, $3.50, what's that? Okay. And you don't go by yourself. You go with a friend or your wife or your girlfriend or... And so there's double. What does that come to, Stephen Little? 16, we got to 16. Now, you see, how many times a week do you go for coffee? I'm asking really personal questions here. How many times a week do you go for coffee? Every 2 weeks. All right, then how much have you spent in a month? You share, yeah. You make a good missionary. Missionaries are supposed to look after what they've got. So you spent this money, and for $25 a month, you can sponsor a child. 25, okay? Now, you probably still have coffee. You won't miss it. And you set up an AP through your bank account. $25 a month will send you a photo of a nice child, and you can put it on the fridge and pray for that child every day. The way this works is detailed here, but it's for the educational costs of the child, and that allows us to run. It gives us a steady income so we can have these children going to school every day and pay the teacher's salaries and so forth. So if you're interested in that, please, everybody, collect one of these, and everybody get on online banking or whatever you do and set up 25. Sponsor two. Some people have said, oh, that's not much. Oh, we'll sponsor five. Some people do that, and then we can get this program really well subscribed. So that's the sponsorship. In your order of service, I think, that you got when you came in the door, you were given one of these. If you weren't, collect, because we've got plenty. This just tells you about the Mapela, that some of the things you haven't already heard. It also has a tear-off slip there, which you might want to use if you wish to donate to Limapela. So thank you very much for those who already do. It's hard to ask people who already give to give some more. But you know what we have found is that often the more you give, the more God blesses. It is a tremendous blessing to you as well as the one you give to. I once heard a minister in Auckland say that somebody couldn't pay at the checkout in the supermarket. And there was just a hiatus, a commotion while she's trying to find the money. She didn't have enough money to pay for groceries at the supermarket. And he was just prompted to just lean over and give her it wasn't much, just $10 or something, just give her the money to pay. And he said he felt so blessed by that one little act of generosity. And it didn't cost him very much, but it was a real help to this woman in need. Well, we had a story this morning. I often think that maybe we could just come and read the scriptures and go home again and wouldn't need to preach at all, because it's all there. When Stephen read that story, it's so clear, isn't it? There's a few things I want to just elaborate on before you go today. In the context of this story, you have to realize that it's the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He had been into the desert to be tempted by the devil, and 40 days, 40 nights without eating. He had been baptized by John the Baptist. He had just begun to preach the message. And by the way, what was the first message that Jesus preached? According to Luke's Gospel anyway. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. That was the very first message. And it does us good to remember that, because repentance is so much an important part of our walk, our Christian walk, to repent, to turn around from that life that we would otherwise be living, and to go in another direction. That's what repentance is. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Well, here he was starting his ministry among the people and preaching from a boat. Very clever. You can get out from the shore. And all these people were fishermen. He didn't go to the palace. He didn't go among rich people. And that's worth remembering, isn't it? John indicates that Andrew and probably John were there together. Andrew went to call his brother, Simon Peter. So they were gathering a crowd. And they'd had Jesus pointed out to them, because I don't know whether you've ever thought about this. People paint pictures of Jesus, don't they? We've seen all kinds of pictures of how people think he might have looked. And one of the things I realize is that people paint Jesus the way they want him to be. You get that? They paint him the way they want him to be. And it probably wasn't the way he was at all. But they're just an unremarkable man beside the lake. And John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God, it takes away the sin of the world. And those disciples were suddenly drawn, they were disciples of John in the first place, drawn to look at Jesus. And if John hadn't said that, perhaps he would just be another person walking along the lakeshore. Well, then Andrew went and called his brother, and Peter came, and they spent the day with Jesus. And it seems that after this miracle of the great catch of fish, that the other disciples were in fact called. So I want to draw your attention to three lessons that I think are important in this story. The first is, and I think we've got some, the next slide if you would please, if we can see this, can you see it all right? Yeah, the first one. The directive or the instruction that Jesus gave was not what Peter expected. It was not in line with the way he'd been thinking. It didn't seem to make sense. Go out and put the net down again and catch fish. But Master, we've been all night, nothing. Have you ever been in this situation where you feel that God's telling you to do something and it doesn't make sense? Doesn't fit your plan, doesn't fit what you've been doing. Have you? Yes. And this is interesting, because it didn't fit what Peter was thinking, but he did it anyway. There was something remarkable about Jesus' presence, that he was ready to do what Jesus said, even though it seemed to him to be nonsense. So that's the first message there. And if you ever feel that God is directing you to do something, instructing you to do something, and it doesn't seem to make sense, have a think and obey. Second point, compliance, or doing what Jesus suggested, obedience to what Jesus suggested, resulted in a huge surprise. Not only the nets were breaking with fish, but when they tried to load all these, load all these fish into the boats began to submerge and sink. So a terrible, it seemed almost like there's going to be a calamity here. But such a surprise, so many fish. I remember in Congo when we were children, I don't know whether my brother Walter remembers this, but my father took us out to the Catholic mission, and the Catholics have always been very good with visual. And they would paint things and have the visual aids to worship and visual aids to the gospel. And they had some artists there who were painting on the wall this very story, the fish being pulled into the boat. And I never forgot that, because I guess I'm a visual person, and it made an impression. There we Hello? Oh, back in business. And there were the fish being drawn into it, and it was such a huge painting, and I was so impressed as a young child. The miracles of Jesus were really impressive. And I wonder if you sometimes think, oh, wouldn't it be good to see a miracle like that today? Does the Holy Spirit operate that way today with miracles? Indeed he does, and I believe so. Sometimes, and you can see even through the history of the church, that the miracles were very sparse, and through the Old Testament, the great things weren't happening. And a lot depends on our faith, doesn't it? A lot depends on how we are walking with God, whether he will perform those miracles that he would. So here we have the compliance, the obedience to what Jesus said resulted in a huge surprise. And there was Peter saying, Lord, go away from me because I am a sinner. He's so awestruck by what Jesus has done. Third point, and this is my last point, everybody. The third point, Jesus used this huge catch as an object lesson, a metaphor. He wanted these disciples to realize that fish is one thing, people are another. And so they were then to leave their nets and their fishing, and they were to go out and they would catch people. Isn't that wonderful? So God used his miracle for another purpose, not just to feed people with the fish, but to show what he had in mind for his church. I want to finish this morning. I mentioned how we have been through a tough year, and I was reading the other day the story of how Jesus taught the people a little bit further on in Luke's gospel. And he said to them, why do you say to me, Lord, Lord? Have you been amongst people who say, Lord, Lord, and then they don't do what the Lord says? Maybe those people, you said, Lord, Lord, and then you didn't, and then you feel ashamed that you didn't. And Jesus said, if you are following my commands, if you follow what I say, you will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock foundations. And then when the flood comes, and we sang about that, didn't we, in the Psalms this morning, the flood comes and the house stands firm. And that is interesting, because if you haven't done what Jesus has said, you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you haven't followed the commands of Jesus. Isn't it easy for people to say, oh, I'm a Christian? We get that in Zambia. We've got a country that says it's a Christian nation. It's declared a Christian nation. And if you ask people, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. But we can see that they don't follow what Jesus said. All of us are guilty of that, are we not? We don't follow what Jesus has told us to do. We need to get back to those accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's Gospel to see what Jesus instructed us to do, and then to do it. Because if we don't, we're like the one who just builds his house on the sand. And when troubles come, as Alison and I have had this year, troubles come, and you start to question, and you start to think, oh, I'm going to die. What's going to happen? Then you are already on that foundation. Now, we have, I want to just read something. I wasn't planning to do this, but yesterday we got a text from one of our head teachers, and I wanted to share this with you. It's wonderful that we can have all this technology these days, and do you, anybody here use this? It's called WhatsApp. WhatsApp? You personal people, you know, you're very... WhatsApp. And then you see, they, as long as they've got an internet connection, they can send text. This is from Frankie, and this is what she says. Just got back home. Wanted to go to the hospital near Fatima, which is the name of a place, to see a grade 7 girl suffering from meningitis. But the taxi we were to use couldn't start. He tried again and we moved for about 10 meters when it made a funny sound and the driver found the belt had burned. Shortly after, the aunt to the girl came by and told us that she had passed on. She passed away, she died. It is so sad. She was a soccer and netball player with 2 weeks before the exams. And this is one of our grade 7 girls, and she has just died of a disease that here in New Zealand, I'm sure she would have been treated for and survived. So I wanted to share that with you. That really paints a picture of how difficult life can be in Africa. In the developing nation, we are faced with these problems all the time. Sometimes you can be overwhelmed by what you see around you. Sometimes you can look also at the way the country is being run, often very badly, and you can think, what's the use? But that is not the right answer, is it? If God has called us to do things, if God has called us, and I'm so impressed that this church has been called into the community to work in schools and in other places, and our own church in Auckland called into prisons, these are the things that Jesus wanted us to do. He wanted us to go amongst people. The fishers of men is that very thing. Fishers of men to build the kingdom of God up amongst people who are less advantaged than ourselves. Let's do that, and please continue to pray with us in the work that we do. When I said at the beginning, how many of you wake up in the morning and say, I'm alive, and not many of you said you did, but we can worship. We come to church, and I want you to think about what worship is. What do we do when we worship? Say again, big voice. Wonderful, and that's just about one of the things I was about to read. We acknowledge it's focusing our attention. Some people think that worship is singing. You stand up the front and hold a microphone. It's one way in which we can worship. But worship is centering on God and focusing on Him and giving Him thanks. When the disciples were gathered around Jesus and they were, He was about to ascend into heaven, the Bible tells us that some doubted. Have you ever noticed that? Here they were seeing Jesus alive again and they doubted. Others worshipped. And isn't that a picture of our people today? Some doubt and some worship. Did they need a guitar to worship there on that mountain as Jesus was about to go into heaven? No, they didn't. Did they need a painting? No, they just worshipped. So it's an expression of the heart, an expression of the self. And I thought, well, what do I want to thank our Heavenly Father for when I've had a tough year and nearly died and I wish and I pray that my hearing will come back to where it is? These are the things that I wrote down. But before I do, what would you thank your Heavenly Father for today? What would you thank your Heavenly Father for today? He is. What are His qualities that you want to thank Him for? Say again.
Faithfulness.
God is faithful. Indeed. Some others. Grace. He's gracious.
He hears our prayers.
He hears. He's listening. Say again.
Mercy.
Sorry, I can't hear. Mercy. Yes. They're all there. And you could go on. And I think you'd probably make a list of 10 or 20 things. The qualities that God has, which we can worship and thank Him for. And these are the ones I put. I think they're all ones you mentioned. Just bring them up here on the screen. Thanks, Mr. PowerPoint. He's gracious, He's loving, He's compassionate, He's patient, He is forgiving. And remember the Lord's Prayer, how He said, forgive, if you want to be forgiven, you must forgive one another. Don't forget that. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are all these things. You are our Heavenly Father. You have given us that gift of life. You've given us the gift of physical activity and the gift of good minds and the gift of abilities. You've given us education. You've given us so much. And that's because you're a gracious and loving Father. We confess our sins to you because we know we do not please you. We repent of those things which we want to turn away from, and we want to live those lives which you have called us to live, that we will follow in the directions that Jesus has given us, even as this passage has pointed out. May we not be like those people who say, Lord, Lord, and then don't do what Jesus told us to do. We think of this wonderful miracle of the catch of fish and how the disciples were overwhelmed by the miracle and the power that Jesus showed in that incident, and yet they were touched by the message to go out and to bring others into the kingdom, to forget about the fish and to be fishers of people. We thank you for these stories, and we pray, Father, that each person in this church here at COV will go forward this week, will focus their attention on your almighty power, focus their attention on your graciousness, your loving kindness, and go forward to bring others into that kingdom. And we pray that by our lives we will live the message. We pray that our message will not be just one of words. It will be a message of living in actions that others will look on and say, that is a person who follows Jesus. So we thank you for your goodness to us. We pray that as we go out into the week, we will know your power, we will know your grace, we will know your patience, and we will know your assurance in the things that we might face during the week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.